Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Jason Lipschutz, Billboard Senior Director of Music.
There's a dog in the background, Jason. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? That is my my little guy, Murray, who just got back from vacation with us, and he's a little bit rowdy after a long car ride.
Murray. We need to have, like, Murray's hot takes on this show.
He can be the next guest. He can be next week's special guest.
Oh, he can. I don't know. Maybe he likes music. Maybe he has some thoughts. Maybe he reacts to certain things. I don't know. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news about how Drake breaks a major Billboard Hot 100 record with his latest singles, Pop Star and Grease, and how friend of the pod, Dua Lipa, hits number one on the pop songs chart with Break My Heart. Plus, we'll get Jason's hot take on Taylor Swift's surprise new album, Folklore.
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, Keith, we've got an interview with Jessie Ware.
Yeah.
Friend of the pod, Jessie Ware, as well. We chatted with the pop singer, songwriter, and fellow podcaster, I should mention, about her new dance album, What's Your Pleasure? So stay tuned for that in just a little bit. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, of course, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you never miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. That is plural.
You do not want to miss the Jessie Ware interview. Just saying.
Very
it's
fun.
Great. All right, so let's do the chart chat. First up, as Juice WRLD's Legends Never Die album holds atop the Billboard 200 chart for a second week, he will most certainly step aside next week from number one, as all indications point to Taylor Swift swooping in at number one with her surprise new album, Folklore. The album, which dropped with little warning last Friday, July 24th, already earned more than 500,000 equivalent album units over the weekend in the U.S., of course, according to initial reports to Nielsen Music MRC data. Now, unless something very, very, very unexpected happens, Folklore should debut at number one next week on the Billboard 200. Jason, what is your initial hot take on the album as someone who not only is someone who enjoys Taylor Swift's music, but also has interviewed Taylor, I believe, multiple times?
That is correct, Keith. Yeah, I really love it. And, you know, it's funny because I've really enjoyed her past few albums, like each one more and more than the last. And I think that this is one of my favorite Taylor Swift albums.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Growing up and in college and after college, I was a big indie rock snob. So The National was one of my favorite bands, Bon Iver.
You were living for this now because the National and Bon Iver is on this album.
Exactly. So, you know, my worlds are definitely colliding. Indie rock past, pop present. Taylor Swift is just an incredible songwriter. We'll talk more about it next week, but two thumbs way up from me.
All right. Well, we'll see where Folklore ends up on next week's Billboard 200 chart. Place your bets. In other chart news, over on the pop songs Airplay chart, Dua Lipa's Break My Heart rises from number two to number one as the song was the most played track on top 40 radio stations last week. It's Dua's third number one overall and her second leader from her Future Nostalgia album.
So speaking of Dua Lipa, Keith, did you hear this news that she is collaborating with one of your favorite artists? I can't really tell. Madonna. She is collaborating with Madonna.
You don't say. I mean, amazing. Tell me more, Jason. What do you know about this amazing collaboration?
So she announced on Twitter on July 27th that her Future Nostalgia song Levitating, which is one of my favorite songs on the album, will get a remix by the Blessed Madonna featuring her idols Missy Elliott and Madonna. The remix is due out on August 14th. It's a shame to have to wait 2.5 weeks. I can't wait to hear this remix.
2.5 weeks. What are we going to do with ourselves? I'm super interested to hear what it sounds like. We'll find out in a couple weeks. Maybe they'll just overhaul the entire song. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Well, with that mention of Madonna, that leads me to some more Madonna-related news, as the diva's long-standing record of having the most top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart has been broken. Now, from 2002 until this week, Madonna held the record for the most top 10s, but this week, Drake collects two new top 10s, taking his total count to 40, two more than Madonna's 38.
Drake did it by way of his featured credits on DJ Khaled's two new singles, Pop Star and Grease, which debut at numbers 3 and 8, respectively, on the new Hot 100 chart. Keith, how are you doing? How are you feeling? How are you processing this news? Just take me through your mindset.
Well, it's thank you for asking. I appreciate your concern. Here's the thing. I mean, yes, it's no secret that I'm a huge Madonna fan, and I'm particularly enamored with this specific chart feat because I think it's an amazing, amazing chart statistic that Madonna has held for a very long time, so much so that I even asked her about it last year at the BBMAs backstage at the show where I specifically told her that she had the record for the most top 10s, and she said, I want more. But you know what? Records were meant to be broken. It's exciting to see chart records broken.
You've made your peace with it.
I've made my peace with it.
Well, congrats to Drake. Switching gears a little bit, Keith, it is time for our interview with Jesse Ware. We both caught up with Jesse Ware. It's fun when we both do an interview together, Keith.
Yeah.
We both talked to Jesse over Zoom recently to chat about her new album, What's Your Pleasure, which Scandalous Nightclubs helped inspire the album, of course. What her
Ooh.
Hopes... Oh. Scandalous Nightclubs. Oh, that's an amazing phrase. What her hopes are for how she wants to take this album on the road eventually, and we somehow end up talking a lot about her going camping with her family and making s'mores. It's honestly a delightful chat. I really enjoyed it. So
yes.
Take a listen to our interview with Jesse Ware.
Welcome back to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. Jesse Ware, how are you?
I'm really good. It's lovely to see you.
We can actually see each other. It's amazing. The fabulousness of technology. How are things in like social quarantine land in London and lockdown? How are you doing right now?
I'm all right. I'm okay. I kind of feel like we are kind of no longer in it, and now everyone just has to be very responsible, which hopefully everyone is. I feel like we've emerged from it and it's still quite miserable and nothing's right, but we're getting on with things.
Have you traveled or anything recently? Have you done anything where you've kind of left London?
I've gone to Dorset, which is in the south east, to see my parents in law, in my in-laws. Tomorrow I have to go camping.
You have to go
camping.
This
is what, well, yeah, because my husband thinks it will be the making of me. And I am a Jewish princess and we don't camp. So I am so sad. Please can we carry this interview on for 24 hours so I don't have to bloody camp?
Yeah. Perfect. It'll be just a live stream for 24 hours.
Yeah. Help! It'll be like Blair Witch. I'll be there being like, ah! I am going camping tomorrow. So that is how much lockdown is pissing me off right now. I'm joking. I'm camping, but I have booked a flight to Greece where I go every year. And we'll see if I get there. Who knows? I think apparently Greece is, you know, if there's too many infection rates, if their infection rate rises, then they'll stop their flights. So you just don't know. It's a bit roulette-y at the moment, but you know, I'm not complaining apart from the camping. I'm really complaining about the camping.
Well, it's good to hear that you're doing well.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. Going camping when you aren't in a campy mood is no fun. I've been there myself.
I just, you know what? I have two children and my husband thinks they're going to absolutely adore it, and I'm sure they are, and I'm going to get that marshmallow on the old Barbie and I'm going to do that thing of boiling water for my cup of tea in the morning on a barbecue and cry a bit.
Until then, Jesse, we have an amazing new album from you. What's Your Pleasure came out a few weeks ago. Congrats again on it.
Thank you.
I can genuinely say that a lot of the Billboard staff loves it, and we talk about it frequently and debate our favorite songs frequently.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, and obviously you've talked a lot about how this is a dance album, but do you remember the moment in which you decided like the vibe of this album? Do you remember like a specific instance where you were like, oh, this is what the direction of this album is going to be?
I knew before I even did my first session with James Ford. We talked, we are friends, and I said, I want to make a dance record and I want to do it sophisticated. I want to do it like a Jessie Ware dance record. And I want to have fun. And he said, I want to hear you on a dance record. I want to do this too. Let's go disco. Let's go boogie. Let's go house. And that's what we did. So we kind of knew what we were doing. And I felt like I was in great hands with James. And, you know, he reached out to producers like Morgan Geist, who's in New York, and Midland, who's actually down the road from me. And so it was wonderfully collaborative. But then I'd reach out to Kindness or Joseph Mount from Metronomy. And it was just kind of, it felt like the old days when I would just kind of be like, hey, do you want to work together? And you'd just say, yeah, I would like to work together. And it was really nice.
As you said the word I think that really describes the album, sophisticated. Because when I listen to it, I feel very like, this is like a mood, a vibe. It's very sophisticated. It's dance, but kind of elevated. And I'm wondering, did you have kind of like a vision in mind when you made this of like where I want this to be played or kind of the vibe, or like, did you have imagery in your head when you were making the album in any capacity?
Oh my God, so much imagery, so much filth in my head.
Ooh, tell us more.
In my head, I was somewhere between Studio 54 and Berghain in Berlin. And, you know, that's where it was. And it was, you know, intentionally cinematic. And, you know, that's why I went full whack with the old strings and horns with Jules Buckley, who's an amazing composer who I'd worked with when I'd been touring. I'd done this mini tour with a guy called Pete Tong that everyone knows. And I'd been singing kind of dance classics and it was really fun. And it was kind of, and Jules was the composer. So for me, I was like, I'm going to have that and I'm going to have that and it's going to be great. And so for me, absolutely, I was imagining it in the club, but in my perfect version of a club that, you know, would be selling a dirty martini and a packet of salt and vinegar crisps, you know, like that's it.
You mentioned Studio 54, and none of us have been to Studio 54 because Studio 54 doesn't exist again. But, you know, you always hear about it in sort of lore and legacy of like what happened because cell phones didn't exist and cameras weren't inside. But Berghain is existing, well, not right now probably, but exists today. Have you actually been, and can you fill us in on what it's like if you haven't signed a non-disclosure agreement?
So I actually think that phones aren't even allowed in that. I'm not sure. So very much about Berghain is a place where you don't know, much like Studio 54, you don't know if you're going to get in.
Oh yeah.
And so there's this line and you got to hope that you look right or you're with the right person to get in. And it's like this kind of myth around it, but it was fact. But, and there's this panorama bar that, you know, so many of my friends have DJed, and they've kind of, I remember my friend Julio Bashmore, who I did songs like Running with and If You're Never Gonna Move with and Sweet Talk, very much on the first record. And he'd go and stay and he'd fly to Berlin and he'd get up at 6 o'clock to have his cornflakes and then he'd hop off to go and do a kind of sunrise set at Berghain. And that's kind of, I mean, he could have chosen to stay up all night and I don't know, do naughty things and whatnot. But yeah, that's how we do it. And it's kind of, I love this feeling that it's all about dance. It's all about keeping people dancing. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a vibe. I was supposed to play Berghain, and then my like venue, the Panorama, you can play the Panorama bar. And there was talk with the promoter in Berlin that I was going to play it. And then like, I don't know, I got moved to another venue.
What?
And I'm just still, I don't know what happened, whether it was a capacity thing or something, but I got moved to another venue, and so I still am yet to play Panorama Bar, and this is like my dream for this record to play there.
Well, but have you actually just been to the club itself as just you?
No, but I've heard plenty a story.
Jessie, when you talked about your shows, I can't wait to hear this album live. I can't wait to experience this album live. What have you imagined in terms of, I'm sure. What have you imagined in terms of performing these songs? Like, what is like, is it like total maximalism on stage?
No. Well, I don't know. It's a definitely a different setup. So I really learned the hard way that touring with like a full band is quite costly and you can lose loads of money. And it's really sad, but this is the reality of being an artist that isn't massive, but people really still like to watch me. But anyway, so I kind of learned that and decided that I wanted to do something that felt more economical. And it's, and I think people are far more forgiving about things being on track. I always found like at the beginning of my career, there were only four of us on stage and I was triggering things with my MPC and like, and it was kind of allowed. And then I think I got into this purist version where I was like, oh, everything must be live. No, it doesn't. You see Rosalia killing it with dancers and loads of backing track and she's killing it and she's singing and it's got a vibe. And so I watched Rosalia and I was speaking to Kindness actually, who was, you know, really saying you need to be less purist about this. Like, it's too expensive to play with full band. So in my head, I was like, the beauty of this record is that I can go with a DJ on my own and do PAs if I want, or I can bring my two trusty backing singers who are going to do the dance moves with me. And then that would be a slight more of a vibe. And then if we really want to go there and somebody wants to pay me the big bucks to be able to afford to play it, we bring in musicians, of course. Like my dream would be to have a couple of musicians, like a DJ slash kind of electronic wizard and two BVs, and we to do choreography. You know, part of the reason why I've done so much choreography on this record, on the visuals, is because I'm going to do that in the live show, because I'm going to have a damn good time with all my fans and they're going to know the dance routines because they're not too hard because I can do them. And that's how it is. So it can kind of grow and it can grow and it can grow, or it can shrink and it will still sound bloody good because I can sing live. So that's it.
I'm just picturing now that you've said like sort of the vibe of the album and where you want to perform. I'm like, play it in like nightclubs and like cool, intimate venues. And then
totally,
you know, maybe mix it up and do, and you know, if you want to or can do larger venues with cool, I mean, all you need really, it's a dance album. All you need is cool lighting and amazing singers and you, and that's kind of it.
And that's it. And I think that's what's been so freeing about this, that it's going to be interesting how I put in my other work, and you can ignore your other work. I mean, in my dream, I'd be able to just present What's Your Pleasure like this, but I think it's not fair on fans that have been with me through thick and thin and from the beginning. You've got to play the other tunes. You've got to play Say You Love Me. You've got to play Wildest Moments, Champagne Kisses. So it's going to be really interesting how to do that, but you know, absolutely. I just remember playing Brooklyn Steel and I played two sold out nights there. And I just thought, my fans are incredible. And when I talk about my American fans, they are off the blooming wall and they chat and they love me and I love them back. And we have such brilliant moments together. And for me, I left that tour feeling like I needed to give them more energy. And that's what I did for this record.
Well, Jesse, you know, you have the new album, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that you also are a fellow podcaster. You have your own podcast, which I subscribe to, Table Manners. You and your mom make a fabulous meal for a celebrity guest. And normally at non-COVID times, you would sit down at a meal with them and eat food and talk about food. And it's very casual. And you've had some of our guests on recently. You had Dua Lipa on. You had Josh Groban. You've had Ellie Goulding. I'm wondering, do you think the podcast has actually affected or influenced your musical career in any kind of creative or business sense?
Yeah, it's taken the business aspect out of the music, which is what I needed, because I was doing this podcast that's doing really, really well and I was enjoying it and it felt fun. And I think music and the business side and the money side got really heavy for a bit, and that's not fun. And then that just like ruins creativity. So it's definitely been something that the podcast has been incredibly empowering for me as an artist, to really feel like I can let go and feel free and creative again. So that was really amazing. And then, you know, I don't know, the podcast is, I think people have come to the podcast that maybe didn't even know anything about my music. And and then really like the podcast. So therefore, potentially were like, oh, I'll give Jessie's music a listen because I have her in my ear every bloody week anyway. So I think that that's been really interesting to see how that's worked. I can never tell how much that's impacted on, like, you know, the listens of this record, but I think it definitely probably has helped. I mean, I wouldn't have minded 75,000 bloody sales on my record in the first week like we do on the old podcast, but, you know, we're getting there.
That's a few downloads. I thought it was really cute. I was listening to the Josh podcast, and I thought it was cute at one point when
I don't think he knew who I was. It was hysterical.
You said, oh, in my other life, I'm a singer. And I'm like, how does he not know that you're a singer?
Josh was charming and so sweet. And I loved how he'd got into cooking in lockdown. And like, I can't remember what he'd been cooking, but he was having a lovely time with it. But I got the impression that I don't think he knew. I think he just thought he was on the phone to like two Jewish women that wanted to like chat about food a bit. And so it was funny. It's funny.
Wow. Wow.
Maybe he knew. And that's really mean.
We'll assume that he knew. He's a man of the world.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knew.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, Jesse. I believe we have reached the end of our time together.
Oh. I'd love to be here with you.
You have to prepare for camping.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You stay with me.
It's going to be fabulous. You're going to have an amazing time with two very little ones in the middle of the forest. It'll be amazing.
Are you a s'mores fan?
Well, that is probably the only reason that I am going, because I have the chocolate biscuits and I have the marshmallows ready and waiting. They're definitely going to be a bit of a bastardized version of the s'more, but I will happily do it. I've got a really funny s'more story. Well, it's not that funny. It's just quite sweet, and this probably won't go in this, but I remember I was staying at the Parker in Palm Springs, probably why I had no bloody money for the bloody last tour, but anyway. and I was there, and I think my husband... No, actually, yeah, I was after a promo run, and I was bloody knackered, and we went to Palm Springs for a couple of days, my husband and I and our little girl. And we bumped into this couple that were getting married there the next day. So they were having one of those like pre-wedding parties and like the outdoors. I mean, the Parker Hotel's really fun. And they were a wonderful couple and they were massive fans of me. And I'm in Palm Springs and there's this fantastic couple getting married and they invited me to their pre-wedding party and we had s'mores around the older fire. And I loved it. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah, cool story.
I love a good s'more. I had s'mores. My wife and I made s'mores in the toaster oven last night.
Oh,
really? Tell me how you did that.
Yeah. Just put like graham cracker on a plate, put the chocolate on the graham cracker, put the marshmallow, wait until it melts a little bit, nice and hot, put a cool graham cracker on top of all the hot s'more.
Did it?
There you go.
How many did you have?
Too many.
Yeah, did you feel sick?
Too many, yeah. Well, enjoy camping.
Thank you.
Or try to.
I mean, when I say I'm camping, I feel like maybe I need to explain.
You're in a hotel.
The tent is already put up for you. So is that called glamping?
Oh, that's fine. Oh.
I mean, not that I would have put it up anyway. My husband would have. I'm a Jewish princess. I told you this. So yeah.
Was the kitchen and the bathroom also installed for you on the campsite before you got there?
Oh, it's en suite. Totally. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a hole in the ground.
This has been lovely. We should let you go so you can actually enjoy your evening because you are a few hours ahead of us. Jesse, this has been nothing but lovely. I knew that it would be a fabulous conversation, but as always, you don't disappoint because I think Jason agrees we could just sit here and just chat with you about whatever. And that's the brilliance of you as a podcast host, but also you because it comes through in your music as well. So,
well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for all your support and your interest. I mean, you guys are very nice to me, so I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Hopefully we will see you over in the States soon when things are safe.
I'd love that.
Than they are now. And yeah, congrats again on an amazing album, Jesse.
Thank you so much. Look after yourselves. Hang in there, and I will see you on the other side of this mess.
Thanks again to Jesse. Such a pleasure, Keith.
Oh, hey.
Speaking with her.
What a nice nod you did there to the album title. Oh, it's almost like someone who scripted that did such a great
job. Brilliant. Just really brilliant.
All right. Well, we've reached the end of our big shoe. Next week, we'll have Murray on the show, I promise.
Yeah.
What song should we go out on?
Let's go with Say You Love Me by Jessie Ware from her second album. And big thanks again to Jessie.
Hey, let's do that. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye. Yeah. Just say you love me just for today.